Good morning to you all. And here we are, the first Advent Sunday of the year of our Lord, 2022. Now, for congregations that follow the church calendar, this actually marks the beginning of the liturgical year. Did I get that right? For the Lutherans among us, did I get that right? I think it is. Yeah, I read it somewhere. Well, and Generations is not liturgical per se, but we do mark this Advent season. And in the secular world, many people have Advent calendars. Now, it's more to do with Santa, involves opening little cardboard doors full of chocolate every day, which is all fine. I don't want to ruin anybody's fun. According to my Advent chocolate calendar at home, Christmas arrives in 3 days. But as we light these candles, and again, thank you, Shauna, for lighting this one, our first candle, the candle of hope. We're going to have the candle of love. That pink candle is the candle of joy, the candle of peace. And then, Lord willing, as we gather on Christmas Eve, we will light the Christ candle, the white one in the center. And we join with Christians all over the world in anticipation of the coming to earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And it's in our word Advent. Actually, it's from the Latin word Adventus. And it means coming. And between now and Christmas, we prepare in anticipation to celebrate the arrival, the birth of Jesus Christ. And we also remind ourselves of his promise to one day return visibly and physically back to the earth. In Acts chapter 1, those angelic beings, right? They said to the apostles that were there, why are you looking up into heaven there? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. And that brings us hope. The blessed hope, actually, is how the scriptures describe it. This week I was gathering some thoughts together on that subject of hope. All right, now I'm just thinking now, you know, this morning, as Mark was mentioning, there's heavy hearts, there's heavy prayer requests. And you know, in a world like ours, there it is, one lone little candle, but it's shining, isn't it? Shining with hope. She read from Psalm 130, as verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. For you and I, we certainly depend on the Word of God, the hope, the assurance, the comfort that we get from these pages of Scripture. And also, too, our hope is in the Word that became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now, later on in Psalm 130, we're told that with the Lord is unfailing love. And with him is full redemption. Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 4, actually chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 of Galatians, and while speaking of fullness, he said, when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Paul went on to say in that chapter in Galatians 4 that followers of Jesus are now children of God. And he described that as you and I now being an heir, joint heirs with Jesus, as he said to the Romans. So we know, those of us who placed our faith and trust in Jesus, we know we are the children of God. The set time has fully come. Full redemption is now ours in Christ Jesus. Amen? And yet, we know what it is to wait, don't we? I wait for the Lord, as the psalmist said. You know, we won't see. We don't see. We won't experience everything right now. There's a longing somewhere deep in our spirits, isn't there? It's with us all the time. The noise of the world sometimes helps to drown it out. But we're always encouraging each other, right, to be still and quiet and know that I'm the Lord. That's all part of our Bible study. And yet, sometimes, when it's quiet, when you're still, things begin to flood back in, don't they? It's with us all the time. Now, this year in particular, we've seen so much on the news. There's a large number of people here in Canada, and I think particularly in Ontario, both adults and children, who are left waiting. And oftentimes far too long a time waiting to receive help in our overcrowded hospital emergency rooms. It's a health crisis right now, isn't it? Maybe you've experienced that personally, just trying to get in to see your doctor. Maybe you were searching store shelves just to find some children's Tylenol. Or you're waiting for results, maybe from a medical exam. Maybe there's a test you wrote at school, waiting for marks, waiting. Somebody to get back to you on a job that maybe you've interviewed for. I ran into a very dear friend this past week. Actually shopping for getting my Christmas lights. Got my Christmas lights ready, but saw her out in the parking lot. She said, "My faith is in Jehovah Jireh," she said, "my provider." But she also told me she's waiting, longing, looking for the Lord to come through with a couple of answers for both her and her family, and she's hoping he comes through fairly soon. She shared some things with me, and we prayed for each other right there in the parking lot. We were very close to one another praying, and a police car drove by, and I thought, I hope he doesn't think I'm robbing this woman. But there we were, waiting. We do a lot of that sometimes in our life, and it's not easy. But I will not leave you this morning without hope. There's something very different when we wait in hope, when we put our hope in the Lord. And one of the best places it comes out for me is in the book of Romans. Now, Kevin read some of that from Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read a bit more. If you want to turn there with me, Romans chapter 5, I always think about this when it comes to hope. Although I saw something I had never recalled seeing before in Romans chapter 4. And I just wanted to see, wanted you to see how it's worded here in the NIV. It's just the first part of Romans 4 and verse 18. And we're just going to put up actually just the first few words, I think. That's what we have there, Linda. Yeah. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. Against all hope, humanly speaking, of course. But Abraham, what an example for us. Paul told the Romans that Abraham believed God. He didn't say Abraham believed in God. A lot of people do that. Even the demons do that. They know there's a God. No, no. Abraham believed God. This was not just some kind of a mental assent. Oh, yeah, there's the man upstairs, the big guy. No, he believed God. He had faith to believe. He believed what God said, and it was true. And it was credited to him as righteousness, right? It's in that section of Romans, we get that. And, of course, that's our message, too, isn't it? Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, whose sins the Lord will never count against them. And it's all because they believed. You believe that Jesus sent his son, that he died and rose again to pay the price for your sins. And you, by your faith, You put your trust in him. You received him as your Lord and Savior. And there's Abraham against all hope. Now we get to look back and on the cross, but there's Abraham. In one place in the Bible it says he just went out. Didn't know where he was going, but he went. And now here he is, and God has just said to him, and you can just picture him thinking to himself, you know, God says I'm going to be the father of many nations. Boy, has he forgotten how old my wife and I are? Just wondering. But against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed that God had the power to do what he promised. Now, to pick up the context of Romans 5, I'm going to read chapter 4, starting in verse 23. And, we got Linda working these slides. Thanks, Linda. We put you to all kinds of work this morning. Right on. And I may just pause here and there, so now you got to really pay attention to the sermon. Yeah, okay. Romans. Yeah, you'll see if she's paying attention depending on this. No, don't feel any pressure. Romans 4 and verse 23. Now, the words it was credited to him, it says they were written not for him alone, but also for us. And it's back earlier in Romans 4 where he says, you know, that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So apart from our works, right, it's our faith. And it's not just Abraham, but it's us. And the words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Ross, I don't want to center you out here, but look at you. You were standing and suffering, both at the same time. Right? Aren't you glad Ross is here today? He's got his walker and everything. Right on. But he's here. He's here. Why do we glory in our sufferings? Well, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Some translations will say, hope does not disappoint us. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then Kevin shared the verses that follow that. Just at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now then, if you want to turn ahead to Romans chapter 4, or no, chapter 8. Sorry, Romans chapter 8. By the way, you ever read Romans chapter 8? It is such a hopeful chapter. I hope you read it several times. But I want to just add these words from Romans 8. And let's see, we'll start in verse 22. Besides, Paul has written a far better sermon here than I could ever deliver anyway. But Romans 8, and let's see, verse 22, he says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. You know it, don't you? There's something wrong with the world around us. There's just something wrong. What God created most beautifully back there in the Garden of Eden has long since, it was affected by Adam and Eve's sin. Everything was, who knows how much, wrecked in the flood. Because not only did it rain for 40 days and nights, but the whole earth opened up and just torrents of water tore apart all kinds of things in our world. And yet the world's still beautiful, But imagine what it will be like when God restores it to its original beauty. Right now we know, and even the whole world is waiting. The whole world seems to be groaning, right? In my day, we talked about ecology. That's a word you don't hear anymore, but the environment. People are worried. Climate change, global warming. The whole earth seems to be affected by, a lot of it, by us. And not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, right? So we know all this stuff. We have the Holy Spirit and everything, and yet we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? Right? It's like somebody saying to you, hey, I've given you all your Christmas presents when you get home today. I won't even wrap them. There they are. Merry Christmas. And you're thinking, well, no, I want to wait till December 25th. There's something kind of exciting about being surprised, right? Verse 25, let me see here. Where am I? I've lost my place. That's all right. Linda's found her place. Good for, oh, here, I can just turn around and read. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. How in the world are we going to wait for any hope patiently? Well, it comes in verse 26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And I was thinking as I was reading those verses this week, and somehow when we pray, and you ever, I mean, some of my prayers are so feeble, right? They're just so feeble. I don't know if you have any feeble prayers. Yeah, you do? Well, anyway, keep praying them. Don't stop praying even the feeblest prayers. Why? Because he who searches the heart of the, he knows the Spirit. God knows what the Spirit, and he's inside of us, and he's interceding for us. In other words, he's editing our prayers. You ever think about that? You write something, you got typos. The Holy Spirit corrects all the typos and sends that prayer. And you know what? We can have confidence in knowing this. Our feeblest prayers, the Holy Spirit is going to make sure that they get to the very throne of God. He's going to make sure of it because he's interceding for us. Wow. And we get these very, very great words of hope. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We tend to forget the second part of that verse. We just say, well, God will work everything together for good. Yes, he will. But it's for his purposes. Sometimes we don't know what those purposes are. So it's rarely easy. In fact, maybe it's never easy. Maybe it's never easy, this being in what we could call God's waiting room. But we don't wait without hope, confidently knowing that God is fully aware of the plans that he has for us. Every single one of us. And he has plans to give us a hope and a future. Whatever hopeless things have happened in your life, you have a hope and a future when you put your faith in Jesus. Now, I was thinking about it this week. I can't tell you how often I've done this, right? And maybe I've mentioned this before, I don't know. But in my prayers, and actually I did it this week, come to think of it, every once in a while, I'll just stop right in the middle of praying. And I'll just say, I actually believe this. I'd actually do that. I'll say, I actually believe this. And then I'll address it to the Lord. I'll say, Lord, I truly believe that I'm not just talking to myself here. It astounds me sometimes. But I believe that you, the Creator God, you're actually hearing what I'm saying right now. Isn't that astounding? Now, I may have mentioned this to you before, I don't know, but I have a very good friend. We've known each other a long time. Still get together for lunch on occasion. Now, he has far more Christian education than I ever have. He's a graduate of a Bible college. He can put letters after his name, right? But he doesn't believe what he used to. In fact, he's a very happy atheist now. And we have discussions every once in a while about faith. And he's thought through this a lot. And he's admitted to me, he said, well, okay, you can't prove that there's a God. But he said, I can't prove that there isn't. So he knows that. And I've often told people, listen, if you want God, you'll find him. If you don't want him, you won't find him. But if you want him, he's there. And sometimes I've admitted to my friend, I've said, you know, you've got some really good points here. Like, everybody's thought about this sort of thing, right? Why does God allow certain things to happen? Why doesn't he fix things? So I've told my friend, I don't have a good answer for you. Well, certainly not one that would satisfy you. But in the end, I've just said to him, but you know, I still believe. We were roommates like 40-some-odd years ago. I said, no, I still believe. And the funny thing is, he said to me, if you ever stop believing in Jesus, he said, especially if you stop believing in Jesus because of something I've said, he says, if I've ever lost my faith, he doesn't think he could ever forgive himself. So he tells me, keep believing. My atheist friend, he tells me, keep believing. Interesting, eh? My friend really loves me, you know, and I love him too. Somebody that I know who's a very popular radio host here in this area, if I mentioned her name, you'd probably know her. She posted a couple of weeks back on Facebook. She said, I'm not sure if you've ever had this happen to you, but you know how you think about someone And then they call you within the next day or just to touch base? She said, it's always been an interesting phenomenon to me. And she talked about some other super strange stuff that she had had happen in the past few days, both to her and to some of her friends. You know, that Twilight Zone stuff, like doo-doo-doo-doo, stuff you can't really, oh, gee, I was just thinking about you, and there you are. Now, in her case, she mentioned maybe she needed to talk to her psychic friend and ask him what's going on. She mentioned she had a lot more questions than answered. Well, I decided just to add a comment. And she did put a like on it, by the way. I said, you know what you posted here? I said, believe it or not, it's precisely one of the reasons why I chose the spiritual path I'm on now as a follower of Jesus. I mean, there are weird coincidences that go on in our lives, aren't there? And I said, I've encountered enough weird stuff that I cannot explain to know there's something going on out there. That wasn't the right place to try and explain the whole gospel to her. I just took a little step into that door that opened up for me right there on somebody's Facebook post, right? And we've talked about that. Eh? If a door opens up, just take a step in if you get a chance to put in a word. But you and I know there is a spirit world, spiritual activity going on all around us. Don't know what is going on right now, perhaps in a different dimension, I don't know, but it's going on all around us right now. Everything in life is not just what we can see and hear and feel and taste and touch, like with our five senses. And you know, things both good and evil. And it will all continue. And it will continue every now and again to perplex us as long as we are in this world, this waiting room. In between the time, we shall one day know everything fully, even as we are fully known. That's how Paul put it there in 1 Corinthians 13. We are not home yet. I feel that more and more as this place begins to look less and less like home. Not this place, but you know, the world. And while I can relate, especially as I get older now, you know, sometimes I do have more questions than answers. I knew everything when I first came to Christ. Oh, yeah. I was so much smarter back then. I don't know. I'm hoping I'm a little wiser now. I don't know. Anyway. But I believe. I still have a hope that keeps me going. Even when life doesn't seem to be heading in any direction that makes any sense to me. Even when I head in a direction that as I look back, that, well, why did I do that? That made no sense to me either. Somehow you and I both know, and I believe with all my heart, and I believe that you believe it too. I believe that someday every wrong thing is going to be made right. Christ is going to make all things new. You know, when I look at a cross anywhere, right, and a terrible thing that happened on that cross, but every time I see a cross, I just believe that someday every wrong thing in this world, every crooked path is going to be made straight. Every tear is going to be wiped from every eye. Even that which causes creation to groan is someday going to be set right again. That's why we look forward to the second advent with hope as well, right? His second return to earth is coming again. Now, we get just enough tastes of it here in this life to help us on our way and to help us to know there is a God. There is a God. There's a lot more to Christmas. And God is still on the throne. Is that hopeful? You know, in our recent series on the letter to the Colossians, we saw it several times. Our Christian life is meant to be lived in community. We make such a big deal about our individual faith in Jesus, and of course we need to have that, but the Christian life is meant to be lived in a community, in a great community like this one. Huh? Close fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're all on this journey together. We are to minister to one another. We are to encourage and build up one another. We are to bear somebody texting somebody. We are to bear. That's all right. It's a very pretty sound. Bing, that was nice. It seems to come at the right time, too. Do, 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 do. We build one another up. We share each other's burdens together, don't we? That's what we're supposed to do. And we do it all in the hope. Well, it came. It came that night in a little stable in Bethlehem. Actually, when I was in Israel, I got to see, I was at King Ahab's, where he dug out these little things for his horses to drink out of. That's what Jesus was born into, a little stone trough. I should have brought a picture. But it came that night. To a carved out piece of stone. It came to a thief on a cross of execution. hope was carried in a message delivered by those who saw a dead man walking again. And over these two millennia, it's still bringing comfort, peace, joy, and hope to millions of men, women, and children who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He said to Thomas, he said, "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Linda, put it up on the screen. Hey, you know what? Let's stand. You people at Zoom, we can't tell if you're standing or not. Let's read these words together. Right? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Next slide, Linda. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Keep, amen, yes, keep looking up. We have a hope. And even the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Amen? Amen. Lord, blessings to you. We are grateful people. We're grateful. Oh, God, I know there are people in this very room right now, people watching on Zoom. They're in the waiting room. Disappointments in life come. Tragedies in life come. I know it. And even as we get close to Christmas time, it causes some hearts to become very weary, some to become very discouraged. Lord, that little candle is still burning. All by itself. But it's proclaiming to whatever even evil spirits may be looking at it right now. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like an eagle. They'll walk, not be weary. They'll run, not be faint. Father, we have a hope. Remind us of it. Remind us of it with every day that goes by, and especially now in this world as we think about Christmas time coming. Lord, even for those who are dreading its arrival, remind us what it's really all about. And we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the thanks, we'll give you all the glory, and we'll do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen, amen. God bless you all.